class, this evening we're going to be dealing with the authority of the body. Now, we got to pay close attention because this class or particular lesson is going to take a little bit of explanation to get to understand exactly what this lesson is about, meaning the authority of the body. I'm going to begin reading scriptures. I'm going to start reading, begin with 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12. I want you to read along with me for better understanding. And we're going to take this thing down part by part. So just stay with me and pay close attention so we can get some understanding of what our instructor, brother Watchman Nee, is saying here. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now, he's using an analogy here. The Spirit of God used an analogy of the human body in relative or in relationship to the body of Christ as a whole. He's reckoning the physical body and its members, which is the body of believers, as parts and members of Christ. And we're going to see how they're going to function in a divine order here of authority. And that's when God get most of his work done, rather God get all of his work done, when the body of Christ is in a divine order here. So I'm going to read this verse one more time with this understanding I just said. "For as the body is one and had many members," our human body, I have one body, you have one body. And this one body that we have has many members. That was the members we can see, our eyes, ears, nose, fingers, arms, legs, toes. We can see those parts of the body very easily. But there are also unseen members of the body that are just as important or more important, as Apostle Paul said. Some of the members are more important than others. You know, I cut off a finger, God forbid, I can still function. It may not be as easily to function, but nevertheless, I can still live. But there are certain vital parts of our members that we need, we got to have, and we got to protect. And so let's read the scripture with the understanding of your natural physical body in relationship to the spiritual body that God reckoned us to. So, "For as the body," talking about our human body, "is one and had many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ." And the body of Christ has many members, many members. Think about Jews and Gentiles and Greeks. You name every nationality that you can name is part of the body. They're born again. They're part of that body of Christ. Many different members with many different cultures. And we got to put cultures into play. We got the Western culture. We have the Eastern culture. And a lot of times it varies different in the way we worship, the way we do things. But yet we still have one body. I don't want to just think of your local church as a body. We're talking about the universal body as a whole. That's the way God sees the church, the whole body. Not just your local church, which is a small portion of the body, but the universal body is what God, what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit is concerned about as a whole. So, I'm reading one more time now. Go with me. "For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that body being many, or one body, so also is Christ." Verse 13, "For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body." The Holy Spirit at the moment of conversion baptized us into the family of God. So we're baptized into the body of Christ. And so many members, people getting born again every day, every walk of life, every race, every nationality, and to be born into this one body here. And God got this thing so divinely set up that only God can discern this thing. It's more than our understanding can discern how many different cultures, members of this body, but yet God said we got to be one. It's impossible in the natural to be one. Everybody got their own personality. Everybody got different culture, different belief system. But Jesus said, "I can make you one." And he tells us how in this 13th verse. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. That's the common denominator, class. The Holy Spirit is the common denominator to make the body of Christ one. Jesus, we're going to find out, is the head of the body. The body cannot function without the head. And look at that 14th verse. For the body is not one member, but many. Now that's one, seems like one statement, but Apostle Paul is bringing out a great revelation here that we need to catch a hold of to understand what we were trying to say in this particular lesson about the authority of the body. I'm going to read that again. 14th verse. For the body is not one member, but many. The body of Christ is not just the hand. So the hand just can't do what it wants to do. It'll be out of order because it'll be outside the will of God trying to function by itself. Can you imagine one member trying to function by itself and get the will of God done? No, it's not going to work like that. And God never designed to work like that. 15th verse. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it not therefore of the body? Now, why would Apostle Paul use a seem like it's a funny example, you know, as though a foot can speak? I never heard foot going around speaking, but he's saying, he's talking spiritual here. If the foot could speak, the foot would say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. Sometimes in life, and you know it yourself, you use your hands more than anything. So sometimes you might say, my hand is more important now. Even though my feet, they have its place, but my hand can do so many different things. You know, people try to do things with their feet, you know, as used like a hand, but it'll never function like a hand. Certain members, you can try to use them in different places and try to substitute, but it'll never do like the original part. A foot will never be able to substitute for a hand. I don't care how versatile a person is. A hand just has the ability to do what it needs to do as a hand. And God knows that. If you're a hand, you be the hand, don't try to be the foot. That's what God's trying to say. Or just because you're the hand, don't think you're doing it all by yourself. You just need other members of the body, but just at that particular time, your hand is needed. But at other times, other members don't need it. Are you with me? I'm trying to get a point here. And as we go on, we're going to see. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, and we do need them both, I am not of the body. But when you need the ear, you need the ear. And when you need the eye, you need an eye. Thank God for the ear of the body. Thank God for the eyes of the body. You know, I'm thinking because I want to say something. And as a servant of my apostle, I call it a servant. As I serve him, I will say this. Sometimes people don't understand it. And I would say, if you tell me something, or you say something around me that you want apostle to know, don't say it around me, because these ears have radars on them, and my ears can hear things, and if it's not right, apostle gonna know about it. Or you hear what I'm saying? Or if I see some things with these eyes that you don't want me to see, don't be doing around me what I can see, because he's going to know about it. So my eyes and my ears, they're both important to me, but yet they have different functions. And I just use that as an analogy. You can take it like you want, but just don't do nothing around me, and don't think apostle not going to know. Just don't say anything around. That's just the way I am. You be the way you are. Am I a tattletale? You can believe, bet your bottom dollar. He can't see everything and can't hear everything. So members, those that are submitted to your spiritual leader, your apostle, your pastor, your teacher, they need to know something. And God used you as a member of the body of Christ to be the eyes and the ears and the nose and the senses to help him to properly run the ministry and be in the overseer that he can be. So you can know, he can know some things he needs to know. I can prove that in the scripture if I had time, but that's another lesson altogether. I can call on Moses and I can show some scriptures where Moses had to have these other 70 men, and some they watched for him. They watched for him. Moses couldn't see everything. Moses couldn't hear everything. And that's why God surround pastors with men and women that he can trust. And he places their anointing upon them so they can have his heart, his spirit, and they can watch his back and they can watch for him, becoming watchmen in the body of Christ. And God needs those things. Are you with me? If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is not therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? So you see, my point is, we need the whole body, not just one particular member. You see it? And if they were all one member, where were the body? Talking about these different aspects of the body I call. But now, 20 verse 10, there are many members, but one body. Notice he keeps saying, many members, one body. Many members, one body. He's trying to get a point across. 21st verse says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Now, I read those few verses to get a point across. But let's go on now to Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15. Now, we move into another area of this revelation that we're about to bring forth. Now, we got all those members, and when they function together, they become a complete body. These members can do the will of God when they become complete members and when they are given orders by the head. The body itself is not complete without the head. All right? So let's look at this 15 verse of the 18th chapter of Matthew. And if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. 17th verse. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, know it. Jesus only spoke to the church maybe once or twice in the New Testament. The church represents himself. And I want you to take note how important the church is to Christ and the responsibility that God put with on the church. And we want to reckon the church as his body. Are you with me? Not just the building we go to and worship in. The church is the body of Christ. And if you refuse to hear the church, also let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican, or a sinner. That's what he meant. Not part of this body of Christ. You're not part of this body if you refuse to hear the church. All right? Because the church is one. 18th verse. Now, this is where the power and authority come in at now. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth. And who's he talking about? He's talking about the church when they come in agreement, when they come in alignment with the will of God. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, God had this divine setup. He has set up. When the church get in alignment with God, and sometimes we use it as an individual scripture, whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. But he really is talking about the church as a whole. When the church come as one, God's saying whatever the church declare on earth is already declared in heaven. That's how powerful the church is. God can't do nothing upon the earth unless it comes through the church. The church is the avenue where God gets the will of God done, where God gets his will done through the body of Christ. God cannot move on the earth unless he comes through the body of Christ. That's the authority that God has given the body of Christ. But where is there chaos in the body? Where is there confusion in the body? Where is there division in the body? That's what we're talking about in those other verses. If a brother sin thee, he knows what he's saying. That's why there got to be a harmony within the body. That's why there got to be a oneness in the body. That's why there cannot be any division in the body. Because God, when the division comes, you can act Moses. See, rebellion doesn't stop the will of God, because nothing can stop the will of God. But what it does, it slows it down. And sometimes God got to get another avenue. Sometimes people think when God used them, they think you were his first choice. A lot of times you're not God's first choice. God, if God can't use one, God will find someone he can use. God tried to use Saul. But Saul couldn't fulfill God's will because Saul didn't have complete obedience. Saul had his own ministry in mind. Saul had his own will and desire in mind. You remember over in Samuel. But God found out David. He said, I got a man after my own heart. Why? He used David. He came through the lineage of David to get his will done upon the earth. So if God can't use one, he'll put down one and put up somebody that's going to hear him. That's the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help me God, Claire. God has to have a perfect alignment. The church has to be in one accord. That's when God can move and get his word. Remember in the fourth chapter of Acts, when they were praying, then the Bible said the church got on one accord and then the power fell. Something when the church came into agreement, the power can fall. God can come in and do exploits, do whatever he needs to do when the church become on one accord. So this entire body has to be functioned as one man. That's my point I'm trying to get out. Many members, one body, but we got to function as one man, a complete unit. There can't be no division. Now, that's fine in the local church. Sometimes you got a small congregation, you know, and it's not hard to get the church in alignment. And sometimes not the worst one, the small church, to get in alignment, because everybody got their own motive and to do things. But imagine when God had called a church as a part of the body, of the larger body. Sometimes the church is the body of a part of the larger body, but still they have to be complete within those smaller bodies. When they become a one accord, that's when God began to move and to do great things. But if there ever any division in the church, which Satan desire to put strife, offense, misunderstanding, division between the pastor and the pew. And so he wanted to get the church out of the will of God in disagreement, all against one another, so the will of God cannot be done. And sad to say, many churches fall for the trick of the enemy by division. My goodness. Let there be no division among you, Paul said. Paul said, let there be no strife among you. Get together and get this thing straight. And I'm going to go back to the scripture in Matthew. That's why Jesus was saying in Matthew here, Matthew 15, I'm going to read that again. 15 verse said, and if thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault. In other words, if your brother sin against you, go get the thing straight. If he don't hear you, bring before the elders of the church. Bring before some witnesses, two or three witnesses, let that word be stay. Where you standing? Get the thing straight. Don't play around with it. Then you get on to the verse that once you get it straight, whatever you bind on earth. See why the devil tries to keep division among the members? And sometimes the members get in odd against one another because they don't want to stay in their land. They won't do what they own. They won't do their own thing. And they don't want to submit to any kind of leadership. But you're going to find out that you got to submit to every member within the body of Christ. The head is far from the head and it flows on down. Authority, what I said, authority starts from the head and it flows all the way down. Well, I can't do nothing with my hand until I get signals from my head. The head got to give signals to my hand to move, to my legs to move. But as some members don't need an order. Why? They're in union with the body. Some of your members are in union with your body so much that the head have perfect obedience. They have perfect obedience to the head. I'm going to give you one member for instance. Your heart. Your heart don't need no orders from the head to be. Thank God. It just knows how to flow. Oh, it just knows how to flow. You're breathing. Your lungs. It don't. Thank God. Sometimes I don't even know I have a lung. It operates so perfectly. Oh, but let me get to running a little bit. You know, you run a little bit and you got it with, thank God for my lung. How you don't ever say thank God for your lung. Oh, you're running and then you feel you're just tired. Oh, and then you feel your heart beating a little bit extra fast. Oh, thank God for my heart. No, you're just automatic sometimes. And sometimes you're just automatic. It functions so much automatically. No, Psalm say we're divinely made. God knew what he was doing when he put his body together. Every member functioning perfectly together. We are a fine-tuned machine that God had designed. And every joint supplied within our body perfectly in harmoniously. And there's no division. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You ever stomp your toe? You stomp one member, it affects the whole body. I mean, I stomped my toe in my bed one night in the dark. And I wanted to roll on the floor. My whole body was hurting. One toe. I hit one toe and my whole body was affected. I said, good Lord. I said, I didn't stomp my toe. No, I didn't cut. I said, I didn't stomp my toe. And then because when one member suffer, the scripture say, the whole body suffer. That's why. Oh, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Well, that's why we got to look out for one another as Christians. That's why you can't be putting your sisters and brothers down. That's why you got to love them all. That's why you can't be a starter of strife and division. That's why you can't let division start with you. I always say this, and I keep saying to Jesus, come back. You know, I would minister sometime, and I say, Lord, if I say something wrong and bring a division in the body, Lord, if it happened, it won't be on my watch. No, Lord. That's why I'm careful what I say. Because I don't want to bring nothing, no division, not on my behalf. I don't want to do no separating. I don't want to do anything to cause a member to get disgruntled and leave. Not on my behalf. You see it? So I watch how I treat all my sister and brother. The Bible says you treat. And then you got to keep yourself holy. The Bible says you treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters. That's why a man can't be playing around with the young girls in the church. And you got to, you know what I'm trying to say, live holy. Because we got to be watchmen here and watchmen in the body of Christ, watchmen on our spiritual leading. I'm telling you, this is so important. This lesson is so important because it keeps a union and a unity in the body of Christ. And we got to learn this lesson. I ain't got to my notes yet, but I'm trying to get there. But I'm trying to show you how important it is to keep ourselves on one accord with the members so God can do his will upon the earth. And we don't want to stop division. Oh, listen to this. We don't want to stop division with our division. You see, we don't want to stop division with our revelation. We don't want to stop division with, oh, I got an idea. You have to keep your ideas to yourself. I'm saying that. Sometimes you think it's a good idea, but it's not a God idea. And that's why the vision always should flow from the top. And see, I keep my ideas to myself. But I take orders, and my job is to carry out the order. Whatever apostle wants, whatever he decides by the Spirit, which way the vision is going, my job is to get in the avenue behind him and help push this vision and help see this vision. Like the slight app, for instance. We got this witnessing app going on within the church. And I tell you, leaders ought to be the first one to get involved with it. If you're a leader of your church and your pastor following Apostle Thompson and don't have the Slack app moving and getting people saved and you're not a part of it, shame on you. Because you as leaders and leaders in, of the body of Christ, ministers of the body of Christ, we need to be the first line. We need to be on first line. What, doing what? Pushing the vision. So the members can see that, hey, they're with pastor. And they need to know they need to get on board. What are we doing? Pushing the vision. This is one of God's greatest divine plans, winning people to the body of Christ. Especially in these times of testing, these times of testing. And people need to hear a sure word. And you need to have boldness and to go out and just ask people, are you born again? And just tell them, if they say no, or they fumble around too long, say, no, you're not born again. Pray this prayer with me. So easy, so simple. Get on board. Yeah, you're a minister? Well, the first thing your minister tells is in the streets. Tell these people about Jesus. And forget about the pulpit minister right now. No, I'm going too far. But that's good anyway, because I need to say that. Yeah, I need to say that. But anyway, number one in my lesson. Number one says, take notes now. Authority finds its fuller expression in the body of Christ. And that's the point I'm trying to get. Authority, whose authority? God's authority finds its fullest expression in the body of Christ. In the body. He can do more in the body than he can do with any one individual. See, individuals don't impress God. God needs the body. God needs the whole body fitly joined together. Though God has established the procedure of authority in the world, none of those relationships, rulers, people, parents and children, husband and wife, employers, employees, I'm showing these different aspects of authority. You see it? These different aspects of authority that God used, rulers and their people, relationship. That's the authority. Kings, presidents, people that serve, citizens of a country, their submission to the president, parents, children relationship with their parents, how they submitted to their parents, husband and wife, if there's perfect submission in her, they see all that is ranks of submission, you see. But each of those are different areas of authority, but its fullest expression is in the church. Because many governing authorities on the earth are all institutional. Think about it. What do you mean institutional? Institution means set up by the world system. You see it? Many set up by the world system. And because they're set up by the world system, they cannot be perfect obedience. There's always an avenue or some form of subordination without being real subjection of the heart. What that mean? Sometimes people can say they're subject to you. Sometimes they can say they're submitted. But when you check the heart, actions, one thing, but the heart says something else. A child can say they submit to their parents, and soon as their parents turn their back, they go do something they're supposed to do. Well, they said they honor them with their mouth, but their heart wasn't in it. A worker can say, I'm submitted to my employer. But when the employer's not looking, they're doing something that totally proves different. A husband and wife. A wife can say she's submitted to her husband, but yet she's submitted by word only, but her heart is in total rebellion against him. Right, I can go on down the line. But it always can be an area of insubordination. It always can be an area of no heart submission. And that's so important. I said obedience is one thing and submission is another thing. You can be obedient in action. You see it? Action is one thing. But you can be rebellious at heart. I use this illustration many times. Your spiritual leader can tell you, get on the slide cap, because this is the will of God for us. Okay, yeah, okay, Pastor, we got it. We with your soul might be on the slide cap. We're going to go get people saved. That's with your mouth. But then your action says, I ain't got time for that. And I ain't got time to put this thing on my phone. This thing going on all too much. Too daggone much. I can't even make a phone call without this thing going off. My goodness, I don't want this thing on my phone. How you get this off my phone? Well, you see, that was the mission. That was obedience in action. But your heart began to rebel about it and wasn't in total submission. You see, obedience is a physical action a lot of times, but submission is a heart attitude. God's not concerned about your action. He just like Saul. He wasn't concerned about Saul's action because it wasn't real. He wanted to slay the king of Amalekite. But his reason for doing it was all wrong. You see it? So it's so important here that we get this thing lined up. We can't have false obedience and false submission. It had to be lined up. There's no way to detect whether the people are following an order of the rulers from their heart or merely rendering lip service. Yeah, but God knows the heart. You can fool some people. Well, a good leader you can't really fool. You might fool them sometimes. You might get away once or twice. But God's going to expose the motive and of a person's heart. He sure will. The Bible said, be careful because your sin going to soon find you out. Sometimes people think they're getting away with something, but no, finally the truth going to be told. And he's going to find out who's with them and who's not with them. And number four says, it is equally difficult to tell whether the children are hearkening to the parent wholeheartedly or not. Hence, subjection to authority cannot be typified by the way children are subject to their parent, servants to their masters, or people to the rulers or employers. So you see my point I'm trying to get at? So God got to get, excuse me, perfect obedience to get his will done. Because if you don't, then the will of God is going to come to a halt upon the earth. And God desire is that we pray the prayer, thy will be done on earth as is already established in heaven. You see it? Our job is to take the will of God that he willing in heaven to establish it upon the earth. And the only thing to take care of that is obedience. Obedience. Though God's authority cannot be established without subjection, neither can it be subject. Let me read this again. Though God's authority cannot be established without subjection, neither can it be if the subjection is not from the heart. You understand that? I'm reading one more time. Though God's authority cannot be established without subjection, neither it can be if subjection is not from the heart. So God needs subjection from the heart. Now, listen to this now. It is clear that absolute and perfect subjection cannot be found in them if there's not from the heart. Only the relationship between Christ and the church can fully express both authority and obedience. I'm going to say it one more time. Only the relationship between Christ and the church, Christ being the head, the church is the body, can fully express both authority and obedience. And once that connection made, the Christ and the church obedience is made, then that the only thing can really express the authority. That's when God can kingdom can come upon the earth and his authority can prevail upon the earth. We often think of the church as a gathering of believers with the same faith or as a meeting of loving hearts, but God's look at it differently. She, the church, stands not only for the same faith and united love, but even more so as one body. That's what God looks at. Yeah, it's thankful we might believe the same thing. Jesus died and rose from the dead. But God looks at a body that can function upon the earth. God needs to, see, God put himself on the earth through us. Christ is the head. Oh my goodness, I wish you could see this. God got himself on the earth through us. Christ being the spiritual head, we being the spiritual body. And he had to have a body upon this earth to do things. We'll got hands. We'll got feet. We'll got eyes. I wish you can see that. We'll got ears. We'll got mouth. If you can see that, then we can function. Then God authorizes upon the earth. When we move as one man, God said, let's do this. Man, will everybody go in that direction and get his will done upon the earth. God is calling the church to one is mainly in these last days. God is gathering the church together. God is building this church where we can be in one accord, in oneness. God, that's a flow of the Spirit that makes us one. You see it? The Spirit doesn't divide us. The Holy Spirit makes us one with him. Make the church function as one. Put unity in the church, not division. The Holy Spirit put unity in the church so we can say the same thing. We can do the same thing. We can believe the same thing. One Lord, one Spirit, one baptism. You're talking about the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. While Christ is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. While Christ is the head of the church. Hope I'm getting some understanding here. The relationship of parents and children, employers and employees, and even husband and wife may all be severed, but the physical head and his body are inseparable. They are forever one. You see, these natural things can separate. Children can get divided from their parents. Employees can quit working for the employer. I can go on and on. And whatever system of government, of authority, can be severed, can be divided, but Christ and his body cannot be divided. And that's the difference. And that's what God kind of shows, that the church is inseparable from the head. Christ will always be the head, and the church is always going to be the body. You see it? And nothing can stop this mighty moving forth, not even you or me. God knows how to keep this body flowing and functioning. I mean, one man said, the prophet said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. No, God said, you're not the only one. I got 10,000 prophets haven't bowed to Baal. So you're not the only one. You think you're the eye? You're not the whole body. You're just an eye. I got 10,000 other prophets. Hey, I hope you get what I'm saying. Never bow to Baal. So God can use you if you submit it. But God got 10,000 others like you. My goodness, I still mouthful at that time. God got 10,000 others like me. We think sometimes we're unreplaceable, that they can't do without you. Oh, but God can got 10,000 others just like you. Might be better than us. But I don't want nobody taking my place. I'm going to submit. I don't know. What about you? You see it? Remember, you wasn't God for a choice. I wasn't God for a choice. That'll keep you in a humble position. You see it? Yeah, God used you. Yeah, God used us. But we're not God for a choice. You see, he set it down one and put up another. He would love for us to stay hooked up. But that's up to us. That's up to you. You're going to submit or not. That's going to determine whether you're going to stay connected with God's divine will. Well, Claire, that's as far as I can go today. I'm going to put a marker right here, and we're going to take up right here next week. Remember where we stopped, talking about this, being separate from the physical head of the body, but the head is inseparable. Class, I hope you learned something from the lesson, and I want you to go in peace.